Welcome y'all to Backwoods Obscura, a podcast dedicated to the lore, legends, and myths surrounding the creatures that may lurk in your backyard. My name's Hewitt.
I'm Chris.
Hey Chris, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. It's been a interesting week.
It has been a week. I have had a very eventful 48 hours.
Yeah, you told me a little bit about it. How about, okay, you know what? Go about talking about that as much as you feel comfortable with.
Okay, weird stuff happened at work and we're moving into standardized testing, so that made everything awkward.
Mm. Louisiana system, yes, yeah.
And as the head of a department in school, made it weird for me. Next, my wife got a new job, which is awesome. She is going to start working for, please insert a bleep, university here.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
I'm just saying, I want you to leave a bleep and then...
Yeah.
I say university, just edit out this other bit. I then had to take one of my children to the doctor only for them to tell me I was overreacting and to change... my child had an allergic reaction to the diaper she was in.
Yeah. That seems like a very doctor or dentist thing to say. As someone that works with dentists.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, it's been a... I painted a door. I've hauled a table out of an estate sale.
It's one of those...
I got paid in donuts today.
Oh, that's good. I like donuts. Except right now, it's kind of hard to eat anything, really. I mean, as someone who was diagnosed with ADHD since they were 4, as I've learned recently, I didn't realize I was that young when I was diagnosed, but I'm back on the meds, and one of the side effects is I don't really get hungry anymore, apparently. So I had to
get to lose weight.
Sure. And also I got to make sure I eat.
Yeah. I was just trying to make a bad joke.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, you get to lose weight. Oh, no, you're going to lose weight. But aside from that, I mean, I'm glad everything worked out good.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, and the good news is we're moving towards the end of school year, which means this summer, with Emily getting a new job, we might be able to have some more travels, maybe over weekends and stuff, to actually go to some places that we've talked about.
Oh, I'm super ready for it. I know that me and Ruby are looking forward to camping. We were going to camp with our friend, Frecky, and she...
I'm looking so forward to that weekend.
Yeah, and she wants to do, like, a preliminary camping trip. We go out, we're just going out, you know, to the park we went with,
But you're going to the Lake Darbonne.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And we're just doing a basic trip. Because I want her to understand how it feel, you know, how it is out there, so she's not super freaked out. Because where we're going with Frecky, it's going to be...
Oh, it's so primitive. I've had to buy a Lugaloo.
Yeah, like, this is more primitive than we're used to, and I think when we went to Cannon's property, it was fairly primitive.
Yeah, this is going to be similar to Cannon's property, only there is not a auger-drilled outhouse.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. We're going to have to, like, use the bathroom and then take the bag and bury it.
Well, I mean, the thing is I've already got some biodegradable trash bags.
Yeah.
We just need to get the solidification gel.
Yeah.
So, if you want to get that, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, no, just point me in the right direction. Yeah,
Amazon.
Of course, Amazon. But
Or Temu. It's $1.55 cheaper on Temu.
I don't know which one I trust more.
It's 6 one way, half a dozen the other.
But aside from that, we went just testing out tents and getting some new stuff. I bought a percolator, bought a new rod for fishing, and I actually caught something with it. It's only been a couple of months.
Hey, you've improved.
Yeah. I caught a little... largemouth bass, and I'm very happy, and I also let him go, because, I mean, one, I don't think regulation-wise he was big enough.
No, but from the picture you put, also, there was not enough on that fish to eat.
Yeah,
You would have needed a dozen more of them to make anything decent.
Like, I didn't want to, like, keep a fish just to sit there and go through that. So I let him go. You know, he got lucky today.
Yeah.
Although I had like a bit of a doll caught the car situation.
You had a fish on the end of your line. Like, what do I do? I don't want to touch it.
Well, no, it's not so much that. It was like I was so excited that I caught the fish because it's something I've been wanting to do. I've been wanting to catch a fish because I've been fishing and my intention is to like catch fish, right? Mm-hmm. And then I catch the fish and I'm like, oh fuck, my brain goes blank on what I need to be doing. So I'm sitting, like, I have a picture on our Discord of me holding it. And you see me, I'm happy, but I'm also, you can kind of see the dread in my face, like, oh shit, I need to be doing something else. So after that, what happens is I run to my car, which for some reason I leave my tackle box at the car to get the shears, to get the, not the shears.
Pliers.
The pliers to get the hook out.
Yeah.
I'm running over there, I'm like, oh fuck, and I'm trying to grab the fish. And it's a whole nightmare, but eventually I get everything out. The fish is like, what the fuck are you doing? You idiot. You dumbass. And I'm already dumb. I just took your bait. So what are you doing? And I'm like, it's okay.
I'm detangling you and throwing you back so you have a weird story for all the other fish.
And Ruby was like, why don't we keep it? I'm like, yeah.
If you had a big enough fish tank, I'd say keep it as a pet.
Nah. And bass get pretty big.
I know, so. But no, there's a channel I don't watch them, but I watch the videos. It's called Bama Bass. They built a 5-acre pond on their property. The dude's an engineer and has a farm.
Yeah.
So he built a pond for his two pet bass, Bonnie and Clyde. And he's eventually going to release his new pet bass, Moby, into it when he gets big enough. But done some really cool stuff out there. I wish I had that money because... I don't want to fish. I just want to go, like, put a hammock on the little island in the middle of his 5-acre pond, and I will take a boat out there, and I will take a nap, and everybody can leave me the hell alone.
See, that's cool. Like, my big thing with fishing right now is I want to get good enough at fishing to where I can get enough to collect just to have a good meal. Or even better, like, one of the people I work with, they go out fishing constantly, and they have a boat. They will cut their day short of work because they own the business. They own the dental lab next to us, and they will go and just go fish. They'll take the boat, and the last time we had a fish fry at the lab,
all of it was from him.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it's all white perch, which I believe in the South is technically white crappie.
Yeah, they're similar.
Yeah. I mean, there's actual white perch, but the Southern colloquialism
it's one of those, like, if most people way up north don't know what a gaspagoo is or a buffalo is, and both of them are just trash fish. I believe a gaspagoo is just, I don't know, it's just trash fish, but I think the buffalo is a type of carp.
Yeah. So... He produced so much fish for us, and he had some catfish. And
I cannot stand those assholes.
The biggest thing that scares me fishing right now as a hobby
is pulling up one of those bastards.
Yeah, because I mean, I have the pliers, the hook removers, and everything.
Get some gloves.
I have some gloves, but I mean, those spines can go through gloves.
Well, yeah, but most of the catfish you're going to get, little blues and little muds, are not going to be big enough to do that. Now, if you pulled up a 50-pounder, I would just say cut the line. And
there are certain things where I am going to say cut the line, and I don't want to do that generally because I want to eat fish, but I do respect wildlife.
You also don't want to lose the lure.
It's not so much about wanting to lose the lure. I just don't want to, like, leave an animal with, like, a hook in their mouth, generally. But if it's, well, like...
The bigger thing that's a problem with catfish is they usually swallow them. They don't... It's not usually, a catfish doesn't get caught in the lip. It swallows it. And that... No matter what you do, that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, I better get a skinner then.
All you need is a good fillet knife.
Well, no, you gotta skin.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, the fillet knife is what you cut, and then you're gonna need a pair. You got pliers, but you might want to. It's usually meant for metal bending. It's a pair of pliers that have like a 2 to 4.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They sell those over at Toledo Tackle.
So. Yeah, they're basically a metal bending set of pliers that they use to pull the skin. Which for anybody that's listening later is going to sound completely horrific, but you quite literally have to rip the skin off of a catfish you've caught because you can actually turn catfish skin into leather.
But, I mean, when it comes to catching fish, I want to catch things. I want to make sure, like, I don't, like, if I throw something back, I don't want it to suffer.
That's a good point. That's actually very nice of you.
This is also why there are a few things. Like, I mean, even if I caught like a small alligator, I'm
gonna keep that. I'm gonna keep the small alligator.
I ain't gonna keep it. I'm gonna throw it back. I'm gonna make sure
that's Boudreaux.
Shit. But anyway, I think we've gone on a good bit about
this. Yeah. Hey, do you want that? Because several of the ones I've done recently have been kind of downers, or we've got... Okay, to be fair, the Luton actually made us mad.
Luton made us mad.
I listened to that. Came out this week. I listened to it. We got mad to where we cursed too much about it stealing socks and blunt knives.
Okay, so yeah, we do need to make sure we
we know, but let's be honest. That little asshole deserves that because either his blunt knife stealing our socks or making milk go bad.
We were mad. But rightfully so. But
because it's real. It's real. Luton's real.
We will be better than the Luton in change.
Now, but hey, here's one that's fun that we could actually go to.
Oh.
This is the DeRitter Hanging Jail or the Gothic Jail, which is actually on the historic landmarks.
Okay, so it's a hanging jail.
It's called, for the most part, if you look at it, it's called the Gothic Jail, and I actually have some background on that. First off, in 1915, DeRitter, Louisiana, Beauregard Parish, in West Louisiana, built a jail that is connected by an underground tunnel to its courthouse. It is in the collegiate Gothic architecture style, which has Tudor arches, dormers, bay windows. It was popular with colleges from about 1910 till 1950, and it was chosen because of its height and impressive medieval form. It is an impressive building, and it is it has a personality versus some of the stuff we've seen that's just, you know, the mid-century modern / post-communist build that has no personality, straight square box.
I like how you say post-communist. So you're saying that the building is cathedral-like in the sense that it's...
It very much has a medieval vibe to it. I sent you a picture about it. So if you go back on Discord and look at the pictures I sent you, you can see it. And something that would actually be good when we post this online, if you add links in the description.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely do that. Let me see.
Because the DeRitter Jail is... I dig its vibe.
I'm looking at it right now.
I dig its vibe, right?
It definitely looks like a place. Okay, just let me know if this sounds familiar to you. You're watching Ghost Hunters.
100%.
Yeah, you're watching Ghost Hunters. They're Ghost Adventures. It doesn't matter. They're talking about the DeRitter Jail. And they're going through the history. I don't know the history right now. We're going to get into that. But then they talk about the modern incarnation of it. It's a fucking brewery. Or it's a fucking bar.
Well,
or
yeah,
hotel.
It's not that. This is a museum now. But here's the deal.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it just looks like a place where you're like, man, I could get a drink there.
We have several buildings in the town we live in that look like this. In fact, the high school you and I both attended has a bit of this because they hide a flat roof. They hide a flat... I'm tongue-tied so bad right now. They hide a flat roof behind crenellations, like a castle. So they'll have a... And I don't know, back when you went to high school, if you did like me and some of our friends and went out on the roof on top of the third
spoiler
floor.
Alert. I literally didn't even finish the first year of high school.
I know you didn't, but you never went up to the top and walked. It was a flat roof, but if you look at it from outside, it had these parapets and like a higher wall, and it was meant to look impressive. The whole idea behind this place, it has a central tower, and that's very important to the collegiate Gothic architecture style. It's meant to look like a castle. Now, all of this I found from ExploreLouisiana.com and the Beauregard Parish tourism website, because I've seen that we haven't always posted our sources, so I'm making sure we say it now.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, it's meant to look like a castle. Now, here's some other interesting things. Like, the whole first page of my notes are the architecture of this place, because it's unusual. So, it's three floors. The first floor was the jailer's quarters that had the jailer's home for a family. Had enough room for a family of five. Now, 1910 means it was two bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was actually three bedrooms. It also had temporary holding cells down there. So the first floor is 100% for the jailer's family. So the jailer would live there. His wife and kids would live there. And they had a full apartment.
So it was basically like a little house.
Yeah, the whole first floor is like a little house and some temporary holding cells for like drunks. See, second and third floor, four cells on each floor. So there's eight cells. They held 12 people. They were all located around a central spire staircase. Each cell had something very unusual for the time. They had their own private bathrooms, and they had their own skylights and windows. Now, there were 12 bunks to a cell, two rows of six. So there's 12 people living in a cell with a private bathroom, flush toilets for 1915.
That's pretty private
showers, like shower stalls. So even though there's 12 of you in the room, you're not all see you at the pole type situation. You each have your own private shower. This is unheard of.
Now, this sounds pretty fancy for 1915.
1915, rural Western Louisiana. Because I'll let you know, DeRidder is getting close to Lake Sabine.
And the thing is, like, when I think of this time, I'm thinking of, like, the penitentiaries where it's, like, you are trying to seek penance, right?
Yeah, like, thinking about Eastern State from the other end of the century. Now, here's the deal. Again, like I mentioned earlier, there is a underground tunnel that connects the courthouse and the old prison so that prisoners can be taken from their cells and walk to the courthouse without anybody seeing them. To be put for, you know, their arraignment, for their hearings and all that. So, it's really neat just from the architecture standpoint, just from the stuff there.
It seems very intricate for Louisiana. I'm going to say now, knowing Louisiana for what it is in the modern era, which is...
The prison capital of the world,
because
we have more incarcerated. One quarter of the 4 million people that make up our population are currently incarcerated. And the United States is the most incarceration-happy country, and Louisiana is the most incarceration-happy state, which means literally Louisiana, this little state that's quarter of the size of Germany or France, incarcerates more people per capita than the rest of the world. And that does include the dictatorships.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you talk to people around here, okay, as a Louisianian, I'm going to give y'all a little bit of an insight. People are pretty draconian in their opinions.
You are four times more likely in the state of Louisiana than the three surrounding states, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Texas, to have a negative run-in with the police officers that will result in a 1 to 5 year stay in an incarcerated retention center, also known as a prison.
Yeah, and people actually support that here. So it's really weird to me to hear about a prison that's not only like, yeah, we're going
to make accommodations. Like, to be fair, Angola has former Afghanistan occupation tents to put the excess number of prisoners in. And by the way, our illustrious new governor, fuck him, has made a law to where 16-year-olds can be tried as adults. But let's get off this soapbox before I get mad.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, fun fact, all the walls in this place are 12 inches thick.
Oh, that's a thick-ass wall.
That wall's thick. That wall is as thick as the wall I built on our new base in 7 Days to Die.
Hell yeah. That's a good base.
Now, I want you a little bit more history with this place. The Hudson River Lumber Company donated the land for the jail and the courthouse And it was, both of these were built for $168,000 starting in 1914. My house was 128.
I know, right? You think about things like that and you're like, wow.
Now, here's the thing, and this is coming from the Beauregard Parish Police Jury website, is that the DeRidder Gothic Jail, which is what most people call it, was listed on the National Registry of Historic Places in 1981. It was open from 1915 till 1984, so it was open up to the year I was born. Now, I'm going to take a slight break here, and this is something for you and me, and for anybody that's listening, is that the old Beauregard prison, the old DeRidder Hanging Jail, offers tours Monday through Friday at 10, 11, 1:30, and 3 p.m. Adults are $10, kids are $5. Children under the age of 5 are free. Veterans and elderly folks get a discount.
I feel like you're trying to sell me on going here.
It has its own Facebook page, Gothic Jail After Dark. They offer special ghost hunting tours at night, depending on the time of year. They're about $65 a person, which is pretty affordable.
I think we could do that, actually.
I think we could do this. Now, here's the deal. Coming from 64 parishes online, how did the Hanging Jail of DeRidder get its name? In 1926, Joe Genna.
Oh, I thought you were going to, like, quiz me.
No. 1926, Joe Genna and Molton Brasso. Let's just enjoy Brasso.
That's a name.
That's a name.
That's a sturdy name right there.
They hire a taxi cab driver to take them from the DeRidder sawmill to the town of Toulos, Louisiana. Now, Joe Breville's body, the driver, was found in a pond by teenagers fishing in Vernon Parish, the neighboring parish.
Oh, so, I did that before. Not find a body, but fish.
Yeah, a couple teenagers fishing, have a whole Stand By Me moment of finding a dead body. They alert the police very quickly. And here's the deal. Genna and Brasso stole the car and a grand total of $14.
But that's...
No, not even by 1926 money is $14 a lot.
But you could buy like a...
That you could
buy a hamburger for 10 cents back then,
You got $80 and a car.
Okay, yeah, you're right. And then not as much as I think.
So they got caught because they were driving the taxi. And it said taxi.
Oh, okay, so it was like the stereotypical.
They were driving a taxi car they stole and never checked the glove box for the registry that he put in there before, or that Breville put in there before they killed him, of saying who he picked up and where they were going. So they got caught with a stolen taxi, with a document from the deceased stating who were the last two that got picked up by it. So they can say, oh, we did a joyride. Yeah, it was their names.
Oh, whoops.
They both confessed, and in 1928, they were hung.
At the Hanging Jail.
At the Hanging Jail. These are the only two hangings that ever happened at the DeRidder Jail. They were hung.
Considering the name, that's pretty low.
Yeah. See, the thing is that the DeRidder Jail didn't have gallows. So if you go there today, there's a makeshift fake set of gallows at the top of the stairs. They're not the gallows that were in there for hanging. They are a prop, and the noose that is there is a prop. None of that is the original anything. Because the way they hung these two gentlemen was they put a rope around their necks and they made them step over the spiral staircase at a gap where there was no step. So they'd dangle. So it was not a quick trap door.
That doesn't sound fun.
No, it's not. Okay, so for anybody that's listening to this, because I think we've mentioned hangings, well, we've mentioned lynchings before. When someone is officially hung from the gallows, that quick drop from the trapdoor, if it's
usually
done,
a snap in the neck.
Right. Yeah. If the trapdoor is done right and the noose is placed in the right spot behind the left ear, it will result in a snap neck, which means they pass out and are paralyzed and slowly strangle without knowing it, and that was considered humane at the time. If you do not have your neck snap, you are fully conscious for the entire time of being choked by your own body weight and gravity. And that's what they did to these two men. They basically shoved them out over a spiral staircase in front of the two floors below, which are where the prison cells were. They hung them in front of everybody. Now, so again, the gallows that if you go there to see today, if you take the tour, are not the original gallows. They are staged. They're there for the drama.
They're there for show, yeah.
They are the theater of this haunted location, which means, let's get into the haunting. So supposedly, Joe Jenna and Molton Bresso are the first two ghosts to haunt this place. And I will go ahead and say this. I found several on Facebook haunting accounts, personal accounts, at least 100 different personal accounts connected to the website, or not the website, but the Facebook page.
I thought you were going to say evidence, and I'm like, Facebook, huh?
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I don't count any of this as true, but it's... The Facebook page is the main location for any personal encounters that have happened at this place. So let me get into some of the additional hauntings. So both of the killers who were hung there are supposed to haunt the place, walking around, or sometimes you might see from the makeshift fake gallows a see-through body.
Okay, so apparently on the on the gallows itself,
there's supposed to be apparitions of the...
Even though nothing technically happened there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it happened in that spot, but not on the makeshift fake gallows.
Okay.
Also, some other additional stories, and this one is just to make you laugh, connected back to our Kushma episode. Female prisoners were kept on the third floor, and they had the largest windows looking out onto the street in front of them. They would be known to flash drivers and cause car accidents.
You know, you gotta entertain yourself somehow.
Now, again, media. This, before I get into the sightings, there's some media stuff. They have a lot of stuff on their Facebook page for the prison. And there's a lot of people who post on Facebook that have taken tours here, because this place has been open. It's been a museum since we were kids. So people go through and they tour it. Also, there's some stories about a dude named Leather Britches.
Leather Britches.
Okay, well, first off, and I don't have a lot on this, but it's something we might want to look into. The very western edge of Louisiana, south of Shreveport, down to Lake Charles, used to be known as No Man's Land. Because Mexico/Texas and Louisiana didn't know where the western border of Louisiana was. So we settled on basically declaring an area the size of a small state neither country owned until we could resolve it. So the very first Wild West was western Louisiana, and that was this place. And one of the bandits that lived there was named Leather Britches, because he had a set of rawhide leather britches. And there's a whole museum thing about him, and I didn't add any of the ghost stories connected. He's like, we have leather britches, and all of a sudden they might twitch. I'm like, no, I'm not going to talk about this.
It sounds like a lamer version of the Leather Man.
Well, it's not just that. There was literally a bandit, I don't remember his name, because again, I didn't do a ton of research on this, whose moniker was Leather Britches, because he wore rawhide britches.
Yeah, were made of leather, yeah.
Well, yeah, and he robbed people. And so they have stuff over there because he did that around DeRidder before. Because, I mean, DeRidder didn't exist till the early 1900s / late 1800s. It's all connected to the Kansas City Roller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also...
I'm just saying, the Leather Man,
yeah, no,
pretty cool.
Pretty cool dude. Back in 2019, the DeRidder Hanging Jail appeared on Most Terrifying Places. And it's now on HBO Max. But Ghost Brothers Lights Out, back in 2021, Witten did a site there. And by the way, I love Ghost Brothers. If you have Discovery Plus, watch it. If you got HBO Max, watch it. It's I really do love it because it's, they take a different spin on some stuff because of just personalities. Now, sightings. So first off, I sent you a picture. There's a picture supposedly of a jailer that was taken by a drone shot of the prison. I'm going to say I'm not convinced by that photo. It's kind of gray, higgledy-piggledy bowl. But it does, if you look at it the right way, look like somebody leaning over the rail smoking a cigarette.
I think I mean, I see kind of what that is.
Yeah, but I mean, people jumped on that. Here's my thing. 90%, like, there's orbs, man. There's orbs. I'm like, yeah, I don't buy that.
Well, you look at something in the lens of a camera, and your brain just kind of tries to make something of it.
You have that, like, I saw Jesus on this piece of toast
kind of thing. It's that's kind of a lot of ghost photos.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We're talking about ghosts, and you and I are highly
skeptical
of it because of just, we have watched ghost shows since, like, Fox, most terrifying places on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, and also just we consume that content regularly.
We do.
I love Ghost Hunters.
Nukes Top 5.
I love Nukes Top 5. I love Ghost Hunters. Like, I have a few of the seasons. We like Ghost Bros.
I do love Ghost Adventures. I have a whole season I need to watch, but since they've mostly switched to It's a Demon. I have both my kids in the room with me, so I'm like, I want to watch my ghost show. And my son is 100% not down with the spoopy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You don't want to...
Yeah, my son is not down with the spoopy. But hey, let's start off with, first off, the number one source for ghost information on this are employees or former employees. And I will say this, working in an old building like I did, you got stories. Shit. There's stories of weird stuff. There's stories that you heard stuff. There's stories that you saw stuff you couldn't explain. And you just move on because you need to get paid that day.
I mean, from urbexing to school, I've been in a lot of old buildings. And they do seem to have an aura about them.
And stuff happens. So I give some credence to some of what I'm about to say. Because it's a hotel staff, or not hotel staff, but museum staff who's there all the time. The number one thing is, and this is according to Louisiana Dread on YouTube. This is according to the Beauregard Tourism Bureau website and the police jury website. The number one thing is disembodied voices wailing and crying are regularly heard throughout the building, regardless of the time of day.
Oh, that's weird.
Well,
I mean, it's not, like, I can think of something that would explain it, but also, even if I can't explain it, if you're just walking through a place, and I've had that experience, like, you know, walking through my college, when I went to college, you know, I'd be the only person there, I'd be in an old building trying to turn something in, and then you hear what was actually the wind hitting, but it was going through one of the windows that was open, and because of the way the building was framed, you hear like this high-pitched wail, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, the biggest thing is that most of the time these are stated after a tour group comes through.
Okay.
So, the tour group has left, like completely left the building. And then there's a noise heard in the building, not with the tour group that's now out the side. And I'll be honest, coming from the not fully skeptical thing, is if there's a large group of people that walk through a supposedly haunted place, that type of energy can be fed on and something can respond.
Okay, so your whole deal is like people go through whatever is in there, feeds off of the energy of the
and then does something
there.
I can buy that a little bit, because I mean, I've been through places that 99% of the time when you're there, not a single thing happens.
And at the same time, I just talked about the college example. I go through an old building, people were just walking through there,
right,
and I'm turning in something late and I'm hearing something weird. It could be the wind,
right,
but it also could, yeah,
could be something else. The next thing is there are a lot of accounts of shadow people Which is, again, like, the like that's, like, there's orbs and then there's shadow people. Like, number one, number two, number three with, you know, EVPs yeah. and sounds is...
Like, shadow people, I feel, are a little bit higher on the...
a lot of folks will say...
credibility list.
When you're at the bottom of the stairs, you might see what looks like somebody walking by on an upper floor. If you're walking through a cell, you might see someone move by the doorway back outside. Or if you're outside, you might see someone... see a shadow that moves through the room and out. Some people say 100% because before they remodeled it, birds could have gotten yeah. in. It could be birds. It could be a lot of things. But a lot of people, they note that is a human-sized shadow. And it's not like something like walks up to you. It's something...
that's in the periphery?
Periphery, or you look up and it moves by and you're like, you know, like, it's enough to catch your interest, but not yeah. enough to, like, be scary. Let's see. The other thing is there's a YouTube channel called Spirit Guides LC that is a local ghost hunting group. And they actually got three pieces of weird evidence. The first one is they got some ovulus evidence.
Oh.
Which you know,
should I cut here and show that or
no don't we don't have rights to show their videos and I don't want to okay. it's more of the ovulus for anybody that has not seen it is a electronic device. A lot of times it's also an app on a cell phone that when you activate it will post 1 to 2 word responses to a question. A lot of times it's on an ovulus unit so that you could say it's not, you know, a cell phone app that's fake. It's a program, which, I mean, you could still program a handheld device.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're going around asking, how did you die? Old. Might be the word that pops up. It is a...
They have the phonetic one where it sounds...
Spirit boxes are the one that talk.
Well, it's not... like, when it comes to the ovulus, you can either do... the one where it just says words, or it does the phonetic sounds where
right.
Where it sounds like a robotic voice saying gibberish, but sometimes you can hear stuff, right. Which is more of a pareidola sort of
yeah,
thing.
It's more of an interpreted. So I watched the whole video of them there, and the ovulus is one of the things that stood out to me because even if it's pre-programmed and everything was fake, they did a good job faking it if it was, but at the same time it's one of those of it's not, oh, let me slightly unscrew a flashlight and wait for you to turn it on, or let me at this very moment we caught an EVP we couldn't hear. It's not that.
Yeah.
Now, they caught some EVPs, which you always catch EVPs, and half the time EVPs are, it's like,
or it's something like this. It's like, oh. And you're like, it said, get out.
Yeah, so it goes, no, no. And then they put the subtitles up, I want McDonald's.
It's like, a child died here. They wanted McDonald's, a Happy Meal, the Sonic toy.
At this very moment.
One thing I do like is they were BuzzFeed Unsolved, but now they're Watcher. Shane Madej and Ryan Begara.
Mm-hmm.
They do... what is it, Ghost Files? Yeah, Ghost Files, where they do, like, the light trick, where it's, like, the lights that are just on very barely, but one is a believer, and the other one is, like, a very hard skeptic. Like, the type of skeptic that's like, this is all bullshit, I'm gonna walk in
it's,
here.
It's like if you grab Zach Baggins and Adam Savage and put them on a TV show.
Yeah, together. Yeah, yeah. And, like... there was like a funny fucking episode, not to get derailed, of BuzzFeed Unsolved, where I think it was one of the first one they did where they actually did ghost hunting, where they go into, I think, the Sally house, and they had like the light stuff, and they started asking questions, and it was just going off as they were asking questions, the lights were responding, and you see Ryan, the believer, freaking the fuck out, just going insane, and then Shane Madej just sitting there laughing his ass off because he's like, this is all bullshit.
I don't trust the flashlight trick. Now,
yeah.
The other thing is they got some EVP evidence that was pretty clear about saying they hung me, And the other one is, this is one I don't give a lot of credit for, but it's one of the things I absolutely love on ghost shows, is when they have the camera out that captures the really bad polygon body of a ghost in a room.
Wait, are you talking about the stick figure thing?
Yes, I absolutely love that. No matter what, it's like, it's on the chair, bro, it's on the chair. Oh my god, it's walking on the bed. And you're just looking at it, it's like, if ghosts move like that, ghosts are the most janky... But no, it's you're looking at them, it's like they're walking like they don't know how their legs work. Or it's like they're going to start doing a dance in a chair. And I'm like, you know what? That's the ghost me.
They're just doing the stanky leg.
Ghost me is going to do the stanky leg on Dr. Kevorkian's car in Las Vegas at Zach Bagans' haunted house. Just because, like, what's the ghost doing? It seems to be doing the stanky leg. Why? Boo, bitch. That would be me. But here's the deal. It's like, I'm gonna go out on a branch with some of the stuff I've seen and read and enough personal encounters. Something is there. Whether or not it is real and it's all psychosomatic and it's like a tulpa, because people believe it's haunted, it became haunted. Something's at this place, and also it's dope AF and I want to go there.
Yeah, I'm not super convinced. I think, you know, a lot of these places are, you know, trying to pull your leg, so to speak.
Here's the deal.
Know, we'll go there. I'll talk with them and say, hey, can we go there?
I've been to the Myrtles, and it was still fun. It's the Myrtles is like one of the biggest fake haunts out there. And
now we're never going to be invited.
I don't care.
They're never going to invite us when we call out how they're fake.
They're fake and they're across the street from a Subway.
And how, like, they're overpriced and their food sucks. And
I've never eaten there. I don't know about their food.
I haven't eaten there either. I'm just saying.
Let's not besmirch their food before we've actually tried it, okay?
I mean, they are across the street from a Subway, though. I still eat from Subway, actually.
Like, here's the deal. And I've said this before in another podcast. Everybody always talks about the Myrtles being deep down in the swamps of St. Francisville. The highway is 185 feet from the front door. The other side of the highway has a gas station Subway combo. And slightly down the road is a really good restaurant that looks like it's a grocery store.
I'd still go there, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still go.
Like, I mean, any place that, honestly, I'm going to say this now. Like, New Yorkers talk about, like, their bodegas. No one talks about, like, Louisiana restaurant / grocery store /, like, gas station combos. That's a thing here.
That's just the Louisiana Buc-ee's.
Yeah, yeah. If you find a place that is, like, a gas station / grocery or gas station / fucking restaurant, you're getting some good food.
Right. Now, but again, to get back to our stuff is, one, I think this story is really neat. Not the hanging and the murder part. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting place, especially since it seems like a more humane jail than you would see in modern Louisiana.
Exactly, but here's the deal. Unlike the Carter brothers I've talked about in the past, this is documentable. These dudes were hung for a murder. So, it's real. But the thing is that the building looks cool. The history is neat. It may or may not be haunted, which is a plus for me. They also, the people who run this, I found on their thing, and we'll need to look at this, there's a thing called Paracon in Louisiana that's all about ghost cryptids and other paranormal stuff in the state of Louisiana that we might need to go to. I think it's in Lake Charles. Which I will forgive Lake Charles if they host a cryptid convention.
Yeah, yeah. We can forgive you, Lake Charles. You know what you did.
Making green gumbo with the greens in it and basically being the people responsible for the goddamn kale Disney gumbo.
Oh, did they do that?
Disney put kale and quinoa in their gumbo, and right after Princess Frog came out, like, the entire state of Louisiana, like, took its shirt off and told someone to hold its beer.
But not Lake Charles?
Lake Charles, okay, I'm making a joke with this. Lake Charles makes something called green gumbo, and what they do is they throw collard greens or mustard greens into the gumbo.
Oh, I see what you... Okay,
and
yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with that. I bet that actually probably tastes pretty good. But any case, right here...
We're making jokes here.
But anyway, this sounds neat. This is a fun story. This is something that, unlike a couple... Like, I've done a couple urban legends recently that I'm like, this is 100% bullshit. This right here is a fun little story that means that there is a jail in DeRidder that may or may not be haunted. I'm going to opt that it is because of the number of personal accounts. And the reason I didn't quote them here is because I don't want to say people's names. And also, Facebook posts are like, oh shit, yeah, I saw a ghost in the stairs.
Yo, dude, I saw a ghost up here. It was a big shadow boy.
I went to the bathroom to take a wicked... to take a wicked shit, because I'm a New Jerseyite in DeRidder, Louisiana, and a ghost came through the wall, and next thing you know, I'm Dan Aykroyd up in here.
Yo, dude, he said, look over here, and he did that hand thing where he did the circle with his hands, and I was like, oh, damn, he got me with the hand thing.
Punched
oh,
my soul
dude.
Straight out of my body. I was a
oh,
ghost for
geez.
Five minutes.
Oh,
geez.
Oh, damn. I got fucking pranked by a shadow figure, man. It was so
shadow
crazy.
Shadow man came took my drawers.
Anyway, I took this picture, and then I went to a Bucky's. It was fucking awesome, man.
Wicked A.
Wicked A.
Anyway.
Thank you for sharing this.
I feel this is a fun story. Yeah. We've had a couple that were a little darker. We've had a couple that were a little more intense.
And I think this is fun, and it's definitely a place I would like to go and check out.
Let's do it this summer.
Yeah, we can do it this summer.
We'll go there. We'll go to Green Bridge.
Yeah, we'll go to Green Bridge.
We'll go down that highway we keep talking about that's over near Lafayette.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just make a trip out of it. Just go to every
And then we'll end it in New Orleans. Because why not, right?
Yeah. Fuck it. What can go wrong in New Orleans?
We might beg a friend to let us stay in his haunted house.
It's like, please. We're doing a spooky podcast now. Please. He's like, who?
Guys. And hangs up. Anyway, Chris, why don't you tell everybody about our socials?
So right now we do not have socials set up, or we have some socials set up where I'm still trying to figure out how to post on social media as a platform for our podcast. But we are on Blue Sky, and we are on, I believe, Facebook as the Backwoods Obscura podcast. We are on pretty much every podcatcher at this point. We're trying to get on Apple Podcasts. It just will not work for me, but I am trying my best. And we are also as Team Bonus Action. If you want to get into Team Bonus Action,
you can find us as Team Bonus Action on, which is our, let me phrase it, it is our charity RPG online group and in-person group that raises money for multiple children's charity throughout the year. You can find us at teambonusaction.com, made by our own Frankie V. You can find us at Team Bonus Action on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Skies, Threads, and you can find us on the Hellscape that is known as Twitter at @bonus_team. Currently, we are still partnered with the Trevor Project through the end of April. If you can donate, we'd greatly appreciate it. If not, we understand. And hey, look, if you listen to this some other time of the year and we're partnered with St. Jude's or Extra Life with the Miracle Children's Hospital Network, you can still donate to the Trevor Project, because sometimes LGBTQ plus youth need a little extra help, because sometimes parents suck.
Hell yeah.
So, please support if you can.
And thank you for listening, and you have a good day, night, or whatever time it is there.